Today, I've reached Janet Sketchley, who is an author living in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. For those of you who are geographically challenged, that's on the east coast of Canada, a beautiful part of the world that I've had a chance to visit a few times. Janet has written a couple of novels and is working on a third one. She has numerous credits to her writing name. So hello, Janet.
Hi, Ron. Good to chat with you.
I recall the very first time I saw you, it was at a Write Canada conference, and you mentioned that you had written a book, but it had not been published, and that seemed to go on for a little bit of time.
It did go on for quite a while. That was my first novel, Heaven's Prey, and I didn't realize how long it would take to write a novel and then to edit it and make it publishable, and yes, then to match up with a publisher who actually wanted it at a time that I had it ready. It's a long time coming.
Mm-hmm. Let's do a little exploration here. Tell me just a little bit about yourself, please.
I'm happily married with three children who are almost all adults now. So I have this wonderful sort of quasi-empty nest, a little more time to write. I'm involved in the Word Guild and a few other writing organizations, in my church. I'm blessed to not have to be out in the workforce, so that gives me extra time to write. Not that I use the time very wisely sometimes.
Tell me a little bit about your childhood. Presumably, you know, you must have had a lot of angst and trouble in your childhood to be able to be a writer. I think all writers have that. Isn't that true?
That's not true. I'm very thankful for that. I had a wonderful childhood. It was quite sheltered, and I, looking back, I really appreciate that.
Where did you grow up?
Actually, I live 5 minutes walk from the house in which I grew up. So that's kind of, some of us didn't travel very far from where the apple dropped off the tree. But as a child, we spent a lot of time weekends in the country. We'd leave the city and head to the grandparents' places, or we'd go camping. So, and there was no fear, so I had lots of chance to just roam. So I developed quite a fondness for nature.
Hmm.
These days I wouldn't go walking alone without a large dog.
Right.
But especially since I write suspense, right? So I have some ideas that kind of can creep me out a little bit.
Your own imagination fuels some fear.
It can.
So in all seriousness, writing is all about conflict. I mean, they say if you don't have conflict, you don't have a story. So where does the conflict in your stories come from?
So I tend to have more of a plot-focused story. So things happen. Someone's abducted or someone's threatened. So that kind of generates that level of conflict. But you also need
inner conflict.
Inner and then between the different characters.
Right.
And that's actually something I struggle with because I like everybody to get along. And they can't in the story, not till the end anyway.
So your characters tend to be quite likable people.
I've had to really work on that and make them less easy to get along with and less easygoing.
Mm-hmm.
And just give them permission to argue and to get in one another's way and to annoy one another for the good of the story.
Right, of course. Now, you are a Christian, and make no bones about that. How does being a Christian inform your writing?
Well, I tend to write, at least so far, I tend to write for basically the Christian market. So I'm writing for a reader who is a Christian or who at least is comfortable enough, like they're not threatened by it, they're not going to be offended if they read, if I mention prayer or God or Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The stories that I have written so far and the one that I'm working on now, there's been one aspect that's been a redemption story. So it's been someone who doesn't yet know the Lord who, and that's another conflict, a spiritual conflict.
Mm-hmm.
To get past that to a reconciliation with the Lord. But I also like to explore what is life like for a Christian when they face a challenge.
Mm.
Because it's different. If I'm reading a mainstream novel and whatever happens, the person handles it or doesn't in their own strength.
That's right.
But a Christian, I talk to God about it, I ask for help, and things in my life will help me grow spiritually. So I like to have characters who are walking through that too. Not to be really preachy, like not object lesson-like, but it, just a natural thing. This is part of who they are if they know the Lord. And so they're going to rely on him. It doesn't mean I can have gratuitous miracles happen and rescue them all.
Yes.
You know, but it even though it can happen in real life, mm-hmm. but in the fictional world, it has to be...
It has to almost be more real than real life.
Oh, it does. Yeah, I try very hard to have them be natural with their faith, and if they're growing, and maybe whatever helps them to grow can help someone else, or at least encourage someone else.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of a story I heard just the other day of a man who was approaching the milestone of 100 years, and he told his family, you know, I'm just asking God to get me to 100. I just want to have my 100th birthday. After that, he can take me home anytime. But that was kind of a goal, and he'd made it through his upper 90s, focused on this, going to make it to 100. So on his 100th birthday, his family gathered from all over the place. People flew in from distances and so on. And he enjoyed his 100th birthday and died that night.
Well,
now, if you put that in a story, people would go, oh, please.
I know. Even though it could really happen.
In this case, it did really happen.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you're more of a plot-based writer than character-based. Plot typically is about drama. It's something's happening. Something's happening to someone. Can you give me an example of a dramatic bit from your writing, perhaps? Could you read a little bit for us?
This is from Secrets and Lies, and the character involved, her name is Carol. She's a single mom with a teenage son, and... She just moved them across the country because she received a threat on his life. And so they're starting over and trying to be sort of low-key.
Okay, we're all ears.
Tuesday morning before work, a loud knock at the apartment's front door interrupted Carol's solitude. Fingers dripping suds, she turned from the breakfast dishes and grabbed the nearby hand towel. The doorbell rang. How fast do you think I can move? She snatched her glasses from the table, shoving them into place as she headed through the living room. They never used this entrance. The kitchen door opened 5 steps from Carol's parking space. The frosted glass window in the upper part of the door showed a single silhouette. Shoulders stiff, Carol opened the door the length of the chain. A man in a brown suede jacket stepped back when she peered through the crack. He gave her time to study him, then asked, Carol Daniel? Who wants to know? Carol drew back into the room. No photo op here, although the man didn't look like a reporter. He stepped closer, extending an open leather wallet. I'm Detective Rick Garraway of the City Police. Here's my badge. I'm with Special Investigations. That's why I'm not in uniform. Has something happened to my son? Carol's legs wobbled, and she clutched the edge of the door. It's okay, Mrs. Daniels. Nothing to do with your son, but I do need to talk to you. He held his badge nearer to the door, and after a minute, she took it. It looked real, but she'd heard of scams like this. Suspicion replaced Carol's fear. What's this about? May I come in, please? He reached for his badge case. Wait while I call your office. The detective's eyebrows lifted and he smiled. Wise lady. Still gripping the badge, Carol shut and bolted the door. She ran for the phone. When she opened the door a few minutes later, Detective Garraway looked her in the eye. You keep that up and I won't worry so much. Carol locked up behind him and led him to the kitchen. If she had to have a stranger in her home, a cop at that, it would be on her terms, in the room where she felt most in control. The detective hung his coat on a free peg by the door. May I sit down? At Carol's nod, he drew back one of the chairs from the table and sat as if settling behind his desk at work. He motioned for her to join him. Folding his hands on the tabletop, Garraway drew a deep breath. Mrs. Daniels, Ms., my husband's out of my life. What's going on, detective? He drew a long breath. I'm here about your brother. Carol positioned her glasses more firmly on her face. I don't have a brother. Patience settled over the detective's features. I'm sure I'd say the same in your shoes, but he's made some enemies. They can't get at him, and there's reason to believe they might try to take it out on you. His words hit like a tsunami. A threatening note in Calgary, the one that sent her running for cover. Carol bit her lip and drew a deep breath through her nose, trying to slow her thumping heart. I've had threats before. Mostly you can tell it's just a crazy stage of grief. The victim's families know I wasn't involved. She should tell the detective about the note. The horrifying words still haunted her. You and your son are easy targets, especially the boy. That feels like I've read long enough.
Okay. Well, yes, we don't want you to give away everything, but I have to tell you, I'm hooked. I want to know what's going to happen to Carol and her son. So just in case some of our listeners are also curious about what happens to Carol, where would they be able to get the book?
The book's available both in print and in ebook format. And I've made sure with ebook to have Kobo and Kindle and Nook, all the different options, because everybody has a different type of reader these days.
Sure.
The best way I could suggest to find out more is to actually go to my website, janetsketchley.ca. That's JANETSKETCHLEY.ca. I have a page for each of the books, and on the page it has like an excerpt, a little bit more about it, some background features, as well as many of the more common buy links. So it's just a nice little way to let you find out if it's actually something that interests you or not.
Okay. Thank you, Janet. I appreciate you taking time to talk to us today.
Well, thank you, Ron. It's been fun.
And I wish you all the best with your current work, that it will be completed by the due date and be acceptable to your editor.
Thank you. And all the best with Hope Stream Radio.
Okay. Thanks, Janet.
Thanks. Yeah,
bye-bye.
Bye.
I've been speaking with Janet Sketchley, the author of 2.5 novels. Janet lives in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. You can find her online by Googling her name, Janet Sketchley, or going to her website, janetsketchley.ca.